part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Now, as stewards, we are responsible to God for the proper use of the blessings He gives us. So the blessings come from Him, they belong to Him, but He says He gives us the responsibility for their proper use, And while there are many aspects of this principle, there seems to be one nail that continually gets hammered, and I think yesterday Prince was already hinting on how there are many aspects of stewardship. But wherever you hear stewardship, there is this one squeaky wheel that is always getting greased, the idea of money, right? And the question we are having is that all there is to stewardship, or is it perhaps the most important area? Why is it that every time we got to a stewardship, what you're talking about today does not pass without being spoken about? And Mfundisi Sinyati is going to help us clear the air. Muruti, good afternoon to you, sir. Welcome to Maranatha Drive.
Indeed. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to your listeners. Amen.
Thank you so much, sir. Sir, synonyms, they say they are words that mean the same thing, or at least close to the same thing. So two words, different words, but basically meaning the same thing. Stewardship and money, are these synonyms?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
As much as money is important, it's important in our society, in our economic transactions and so forth. Stewardship is far bigger than money. And so I think we need to contextualize and realize that money is one thing, but stewardship is far bigger than money.
Okay, so there are other aspects of stewardship. Then there comes another question, and the follow-up would be then, Mfundisi, if that's the case, is there then a hierarchy in stewardship where there is the most important, and then you get the others, and then the others, and maybe this one, yeah, even if you don't do it, yeah, it's necessary to be done, but not that much. Which one is the number one? Is money then the number one stewardship element?
No, not really.
Okay.
I think, above all things, we need to understand that management is, or I should say stewardship is more than just, management of things.
Okay.
It is a refusal to let things manage us. Yeah. And I must say that when we are talking about stewardship, I'll get into it. We touched on it yesterday. There is stewardship of time. God requires 1/7 of a week from us.
Okay.
God requires us to spend time with Him. There is a stewardship of treasure. Number two, treasure would be your money and things like that, things that you own. Of course, God owns everything, but He has allowed us to own some things. And then there is stewardship of the temple, which could be the body and health. And then there is stewardship of territory, stewardship of the territory, terrain, terrestrial, some would say it in many ways, but that's the environment that we live in. We must take care of it. You know, if you walk through the streets of Johannesburg, you can see that there is lack of stewardship as people are throwing, you know, trash and garbage everywhere. And it shows that there is a need for people to understand that God has given us the responsibility of taking care of our environment. And also there is a stewardship of talents, our gifts that God has given to us, and abilities. Stewardship of theology, the stewardship of influence. The whole issue of stewardship is far bigger than money.
Okay, all right. I'm keen to go deeper into some of those aspects that you point out tomorrow as we look at the other areas of stewardship. But for today, then if that's the case, so many important factors that you're raising, why is there such an emphasis on money? I mean, even at the local church service, when they say it's now time for stewardship during the main service, they're not talking about, guys, make sure that you bath properly or eat properly. Yeah. They're telling us about money. Make sure you bring money. Why is there so much emphasis on money, Mfundisi?
All right. I think what we need to understand is that money is not evil. In the book of First Timothy, it speaks about... it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. But you see, it says the love of money. It's not the money that is the root of evil. It's the love of money. The obsessive love of money means that you love money more than God. But here's the thing. Money is so involved in our lives, and it is also a big part of stewardship. We no longer, you know, settle our debts in terms of barter trading and things like that, or cows and so forth and so forth. When the Bible says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, it was then when the Israelites were practicing an agricultural type of economy. Okay. But our economy revolves around money, so it's not a bad thing, and therefore we use money for the purpose. We earn money, isn't it? And so we use it also as a mode of economic transactions, and we get paid monetarily, and we transact with it, and so it follows that it's not a bad thing. It's not an evil thing. But I believe that we must, in our teaching of stewardship, we must be broader. Yes, money can be a symbol, but it's not all in all. And so as long as people understand that there is far to stewardship than money, and of course, because we transact using money, we must bring our tithes, offerings in form of money, and in turn, the church or the ministries in the church, they utilize that money to spread the gospel, to provide programs that are beneficial to us and our communities. And all these things, they require that we have some form of money so that we can be able to function not only as a church, but as God's ministries.
So you're saying basically that's why there's so much attention, because we need money in so many areas. And so without this enabler, as it were, many areas of the gospel would suffer without. That's why there's always speaking about, because sometimes people almost feel like, especially, apologies and funny to put you on the hot seat, but you are the one I have. Sometimes it's, it feels like it's because the pastors are eating from this area of the ministry. Therefore, that's why they are so interested in making sure it is in order, that they feel conflicted if they would tell us all the other areas. Our keeping time and being stewards of time, or like you said, stewards of the territory, wouldn't really affect them so much. But if we are not stewards of offering and tithe, then the pastor would feel it at home.
Let me say that it's not necessarily so. When it comes to stewardship and money, you will find that it is usually the God of this world that touches many of us, pastors included. Do you know that pastors also return tithes? They also give their offerings.
Oh, okay.
So they are not exempt. And also they are not exempt from the temptation of hoarding and keeping to themselves. And so everyone, every Christian, whether it's a pastor or not a pastor, we all fall under the same ideals that we must give to God. And may I extend this further, a little controversial, and say that there are some who would say that our money is going to America. You see, America is rich because our tithes and offerings are going to America. It is not true. It is not true.
Okay.
That, Yes, the what we need to understand is that whenever we are putting our tithes and offerings, much of the money, 90%, remains. And then the conference would kick up to the union, to so forth and so forth. But overall, the whole idea is that the gospel must go throughout the whole world. Imagine in places where there is no gospel going on, in China and in Muslim countries and so forth. They need to have the benefit of our funding to go there into those places and grow the work of God. And if we decide to hoard and we say that because the money is going to America or it's going to wherever, and then we are actually stifling the work of God. In fact, we are even, if I may say, we are beneficiaries of this system of tithing and offerings as Africa, as Africans, in the sense that the world sent missionaries here about, you know, some hundred years ago or so. Missionaries came down. They were sponsored by the monies that came from America, from Europe, and from other places so that we can have the light of the gospel. Why shouldn't we do the same so that others may also receive the same light that we receive? Okay. Yes, sir. Yes.
And maybe Mfundisi, let's wrap up with that. Talk to us a bit about this importance. And I already hear you've started a bit. What are the uses of this money that keeps coming to church? Money, money, money. And we've heard people ask questions. Okay, so there's tithing. There's, we wish we think that's God's money, because if someone has got 100 rand, they think God's money is 10 rand. That's what belongs to God. But then the church also wants an extra tax of offering on top of that, besides all the other events that need a support. What's this money being used for? That we're saying we need both the tithe and the offering. If someone says, you know what, I've seen an orphanage around my area, can I take God's money to support that? I mean, I hear you mentioning supporting the ministry going on, the gospel going around. If I see a Bible worker in my neighborhood, can I take my tithe and give him that money?
No.
Help us understand how it's used.
You see, the thing is that we are not God. God has already directed us in how tithes and offerings are to be used. He says, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, into the church, and then the church does the distribution. We are not wiser than God. I think we need to understand that. The funding, the funds that come through, they are distributed evenly in different aspects of the work of the gospel. And someone said, God demands our tithes and he deserves our offerings. Now, we must remember that when we are giving our tithes and our offerings, we are giving to God. We are not necessarily giving it to the pastor or to the elders and so forth. We are giving it to God. And God is the one who says that we must return 10%. In fact, someone also said that our tithes, God deserves our tithes. In other words, we show our worship for God in our tithes, and we show our love for God in our offerings. So God does not demand from you offerings. It's a free will. It's out of your own, out of the goodness of your heart, as you have seen how much God has blessed you, and so you give your offerings. But God demands that tithe be returned to him.
2 points, though, from what you're saying, Mfundisi. The first one regarding the storehouse, to say, so if my local church, which is where you're saying bring the storehouse, so that's to the church, right? Bring to the church. I bring out my tithe, and then we decide we want to evangelize our neighborhood needs Jesus this coming 2024. We say all our tithe for the first 6 months is going to be focused solely in evangelizing our area. Will that be okay? I mean, it's now in the church, and the church has voted after prayer and much fasting that we are going to do that. Is that okay? Number one. Number two.
Can I tackle that one?
Okay.
Can I tackle that quick so that I don't forget?
All right.
The church has systems in place, just like in the times of the Israelites. There were systems in place. And so one cannot just decide by himself that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. The tithes that come in are specifically for the ministry, for the Levites. According to the book of Numbers and Leviticus, it was clear that the tithes were given to the Levites. And Paul also, the Apostle Paul, says that those who work in the ministry must also live off of the proceeds that come from the ministry. So as such, like in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you would have the tithe go into the local church, transfer to the conference. The conference will take some of that to the union. From the union goes to the division. From the division goes to the general conference. And then the general conference distributes it throughout the whole world. So it's a system that is in place that is fair, that ensures that people are paid evenly and territories are covered also without bias.
I've
answered that part. Perhaps you can do another element.
Can I leave you with a question? Unfortunately, for my time's sake, we can't answer this one today. But I want to leave you with this one, Mfundisi, and I hope that tomorrow, maybe as we wrap up, you can provide some counsel on this one. To say, does Levi still have children today? I know that we like to say tithe is for the Levites, like you're saying in Numbers and Leviticus. God, when he instituted it, said it's for the children of Levi. Why? Because they do not have an inheritance among the people of Israel. So when others got land, Levi didn't get. So God says tithe is his. Are we having Levites? Do we have priests today who can now say they leave off the tithe? I want us to address that one tomorrow. But as we wrap up, Mfundisi, touch on this one for me. The idea of offering, usually we have this conception that it is a free will. I can give what I want to give to God. It's determined on my heart. But yet we find God in Malachi chapter 3 saying, you rob me in tithes and offerings. So he can't be saying he's being robbed if I give him what I want to give him. Because that means I'm the determiner. But the moment you say you are robbed, it means you were expecting something different from me. Help us just balance those two to say, how do we tally the idea of free will as in it's up to me, I determine what I want to do, and yet this person I'm doing it for says you're robbing me?
Yes, indeed. You know, the Lord says somewhere that no one is to appear before me empty-handed.
Okay.
So the issue of offerings is the issue of worship. When we go to the house of the Lord empty-handed, it is not right before the Lord. You appear with something, with your offering before the Lord. And even David, when he was offered, some cows for sacrifice, he said, I will not offer unto the Lord a sacrifice that cost me nothing. So in other words, it is imperative upon us that we should, when we go before the Lord, we go with our offering. It's a way of worship. We can worship, we cannot worship God empty-handed. I think we need to understand that concept. Okay. And so as such, when God says you have robbed me, it's like God is saying nimbambi inkunzi. You are nimbambi inkunzi. You're robbing me. You're searching me. You're pickpocketing me. You are strangling me. So in a way, we need to understand that this is a biblical concept, that we go before the Lord with our offerings. Of course, God does not say that bring so much.
But that's why I'm saying, Mfundisi, and please hear me. My question is not so much should we bring or not bring. I'm on the I'm bringing, but what I'm bringing, I am the one determining. And I'm saying, unless if you are saying, Mfundisi, that the robbery is only for those who are not bringing. But those, as long as you are bringing, God has no issue with you. Is that what you're saying? Because I was under the impression that even in the offering, like Paul would mention in Corinthians, to say, put together, as each one must bring as proportionate to what he has been blessed. And it almost gives a connotation that God is saying, I know what I gave you, Mfundisi Nyati. Yes, you've returned my tithe, I see it. But on the offering, surely out of what I've given you, you're giving me 1,000 rand as offering after what I've given you? Are you not robbing me? That's almost the impression I was getting. And not just to say, you have just returned tithe and you say, there you go, God, and then I've left the offering. I don't know if I'm mistaken there, Pastor.
No, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. The Bible does not specifically say what percentage. But I will tell you one thing, that when you look at the children of Israel, they returned their tithes and they returned their offerings. More than 30%, I would say about 33% of their income was dedicated to the temple. Tithes, offerings, also taking care of the widows and the orphans and things like that. So when we look at the Jewish model, we can conclude and say that perhaps we need to do more in our offerings. I am a pastor. And I have access to information, to treasury records and so forth. And I can see that many of us are good, perhaps on tithe, not really. Some don't even return anything. Mm. But on offerings, our churches are suffering because people are not returning offerings. It's out of the offerings that we are able to run the church, out of the offerings that we take care of the widows, we take care of business of the church. But really, we must be doing more, far more. Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, we must be doing far, far more. Muruti, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. We cannot wait to hear how the closing remarks will go regarding the stewardship matter. For today, we appreciate you. Until tomorrow, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.